scripture lesson is found in chapter 7 of the book of Revelation, verses 9 through 12. You can find this in your pew Bible on page 249. After this, I looked, and there was a great multitude that no one could count from every nation, from all tribes and peoples and languages, standing before the throne and before the Lamb, robed in white with palm branches in their hands. They cried out in a loud voice, saying, "Salvation belongs to God who is seated on the throne and to the Lamb." And all the angels stood around the throne and around the elders and the four living creatures, and they fell on their faces before the throne and worshiped God, singing, "Amen, blessing and glory and wisdom and thanksgiving and honor and power and might be to our God forever and ever. Amen."
I bring you greetings in the name of our Savior and Jesus Christ. Greetings. Yeah, I expect you to answer me. You know, we as Africans, when we say greetings, we receive a feedback. So I bring you greetings in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Yeah, I'm excited. See, the truth is, there's absolutely no any other place to be excited than to be in the presence of God. There's absolutely no any other place. So we need to express our excitement here. Out there, there's so much distraction, so much pain. But here we are seated and hearing, listening to God speak to us. So when we come to the presence of God, as Africans, as Nigerians, we come in celebration. Because outside of the church sanctuary, we are persecuted. We are being killed. So when we have that moment, that single moment, to come together with brothers and sisters, we celebrate it. So for us, worship on a Sunday is a call for celebration. Celebrating of what? For God's protection. We celebrate God's healing in our lives. We celebrate God's provision of food. We celebrate God's healing in our families. We celebrate God's enabling us to go through pain is all what calls for celebration. So this morning, I invite us as we celebrate what God has done in our lives from Monday to this morning. Amen. This little light of mine, I'm gonna let it shine. This little light of mine, join me. I'm gonna let it shine. This little light of mine, I'm gonna let it shine. Let it shine, let it shine, let it shine. Just the ladies now. This little light of mine. Let me hear you.
I'm gonna let it shine.
Oh, yeah. Oh yeah,
I'm gonna let it shine.
Oh yeah, yeah,
I'm gonna let it shine.
Oh yeah,
let it shine.
Oh yeah, the man now, that the voice, this little light of mine. Hallelujah, I'm gonna
let it shine.
Oh yeah. Yes. Oh yeah. Oh yes. Yeah. Oh, yeah. Together now, one more last time. All of us. With a clap. This little light. Oh, yes. Oh, yeah. This little light of mine. I'm gonna let it shine. This little light of mine. I'm gonna let it shine. Let it shine, let it shine, let it shine. Amen. God has called us to shine this little light. No matter how little it is, wherever you are found, wherever God will take you today after the service, be it in the restaurants, be it in your home, be it with neighbors, wherever the Lord will take you, the implication is I am committed. I am committed toward shining this little light of mine. As I set us up for this sermon, in the next 20 minutes or so, I want to plead with us to kindly stay with me. Just 20, 25 minutes and we will be done. 20, 25 minutes because our worship team, through our brother and all that have led us, have already taken some quite chunk of the sermon today. And I praise God for that. Yes, that is the work of the Holy Spirit. Almost all the songs, the lessons from Matthew 15, all together has taken a chunk of the sermon. And this is how the Holy Spirit works. We don't need to be together to discuss or agree on what to be done. But because the Holy Spirit lives in us, communicate, and knows the need of the hour. So, from where we read in Revelation chapter 7, beginning from verse 9 through 12, let me just back up a little. The Great Commission says we are to reach to all the nations. This implies that the church was conceived to be multilingual and multicultural. God's design, can we have the PowerPoint? Thank you, yeah. Thank you. So, as I said, the Great Commission in Matthew chapter 28 says we should what? Reach to the nations. To the nations. The Great Commission did not say we should reach to the nation. It says we should reach to the nations, meaning we should reach to tribes, to people, to languages, to ethnicity, to different diversity of God's creation, which means the church was conceived in eternity to be multilingual and to be multicultural. That is what Matthew 28 is all about. It says, go, and as you go, baptize in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Baptize the nations, people, as people come to the saving knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ, they would be baptized. So, Christ's church is challenged to develop not only ethnic congregations, but also multicultural congregations. Just as it was in the church, as described in Acts chapter 2, our church must become completely open to God's leading of the Holy Spirit. As a denomination, as a church, as a fellowship of the church of the brethren, we must allow ourselves to be transformed. Today, more than ever before, God is calling us as a church, as a denomination, toward to be transformed into one whole body. And remember, my title for the sermon today is Separate No More, or One in Worship, separate no more. So, looking at Acts chapter 2, as we said earlier, they were together in fellowship, in unison. They were together. So, let's see as I move forward. Remember when Jesus Christ was born, he lived in a culture and in a world that was what? Separated by hatred. There was the Jews on one side and there was the Samaritan on the other side. So if we think we are separated and segregated, it is not the first time. During Jesus Christ, he came into the similar world that we live today. And he noticed that the Jews have no business with the Gentiles. And he also noticed that the Gentiles have no business with the Jews. And somewhere along the line, in John chapter 14, we saw a reality. We saw that Jesus, our Jewish Messiah, set an example for the church of Jesus Christ to follow. What was that example? Jesus crossed the divided line that divided the Jews and the Gentiles. That hostile line, that hostility, Jesus Christ took his disciples and they walked across the border lines. And he met the Samaritan woman by the well of Jacob. Where were the disciples? The scripture taught us at that time, at that point in time, the disciple has gone into the city. Remember, it was the same city that the Samaritan woman came from. But while they were in the city, the Bible never tells us that they were able to shine the light. They could not ever shine that little light. So when Jesus crossed that border line of hatred, of racial divide, of racial segregation, he brought the Samaritan woman over. He shined that little light. And as soon as she saw that little light, it reflected in her what her life story was. And the scripture told us she went back into the same community where the disciples were earlier. They came back and met her, and she returned back with the good news of that little light. Separate no more. That's what Christ is saying. By crossing the divided line of racial segregation, he was technically saying, one in worship, separate no more. Because Matthew 28 says, go to the nations. Reach out to the nations. Jesus traveled the region, the Gentile region of Gerasene, in Mark chapter 5. Where we also read in Matthew chapter 15, we saw how great Jesus commended what? The faith of this Canaanite woman. She said, Master, Jesus, Lord, Messiah, even the dogs have some right. We need healing. Just that little healing for my daughter. We need it. We deserve it. We are created in your image also. Give it to us. As Christians, we are called to be a bridge to the dying world. And as we become a bridge, the people who are dying spiritually would be able to have an access to cross over to receive their healings. As we stand together, shoulder to shoulder in worship, we bring a fuller experience of who God is. If you read Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, this is the gospel written by four people writing about one person called Jesus Christ. That is diversity. That's diversity. Four people writing about one person. So we can see a bigger picture of who Jesus is. If you just read Matthew, you only have a piece of who Jesus is. If you only read Luke, you only have a piece of who Jesus is. If you read John, it's only a piece. So you need to read the four Gospels. As you read the four Gospels, you find these four guys writing about Jesus Christ. It gives you a fuller understanding, a fuller experience of who Jesus is. Our Savior came to be a light for the Gentiles in Isaiah chapter 42, verse 6. He bridged the gap. The implication is separate no more. Instead, become one whole body. So we are told in Acts chapter 2, verse 21, everyone who calls upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Everyone, both the Jews, the Gentiles, Nigerians, Asians, Koreans, African Americans, the tall, the short, people educated, not educated, the South Americans, whoever call upon the name of the Lord, he or she shall be saved. And if that is saved, if such a person is saved, the intention is you bring him. We are supposed to make a way for that person, for such people, for such community to come into the presence of God. The next slide. Charles Spurgeon warned. He said, be not proud of your race, face, or place of grace. He said, if we love Jesus, we must love the things he loved. Do you love Jesus? Then love his creation. Love the people he has created. Be a bridge builder for them. I want to take us 2 minutes of history. This book, Divided by Faith, as we can see it, is written to describe the society in which the church lives in America. The brothers who wrote this book, Divided by Faith, in their research, they found out that America is a society where race matters. It's a society where lives are socially constructed and drawn along racial lines. And another guy also, Andrew, wrote a book, Two Nations, and he concluded that America may be seen as a two separate nations. It's a racialized society. We are segregated. We are divided. Now, how did we get ourselves to this level? Remember in the 1800s, the Jim Crow laws. Ever since then, till this hour that I stand before you, brothers and sisters, our churches have somehow conformed to the pattern of the society. Remember what Romans says? Romans 29 says, do not conform to the pattern of the society. We have planted our church across racial divide. And because we've planted our churches against racial divide, Jesus Christ is saying, that is not my intention. From eternity, I have conceived that the church is going to be multilingual, is going to be multi-ethnic. And that is why Jesus Christ reconfirmed that statement again to Brother John. Remember, if John were not arrested and taken to the island of Patmos, we wouldn't have Revelation as part of the scripture. I mean, imagine me for a moment that the scripture ends at Jude. Jude is the next chapter before Revelation. We wouldn't have had a fuller understanding of how eternity is going to look like. So God allowed John to be arrested by the Roman army, and he was taken to the island of Patmos. He wasn't killed, and it was in the island of Patmos that God revealed to John how revelation, how the end would look, how eternity will look, so that he will reconfirm what heavens would look like. And I look and behold a great multitude. So there's no reason why we would experience that in heaven while we are not doing it here. It has to start right here. So Christ has set an example by crossing that line of divide. You see, our problem as Christians, we are trying to preserve our prestige. Jesus Christ overruled prestige. He never was bothered about his prestige as God. We are so concerned about who we are. We think we are more holier than Jesus Christ. God himself crossed the divided line. And as he crossed the divided line, he placed the cross of Jesus Christ became a walk path for the Gentiles to cross over the cross. And as they cross over the cross, they came to meet the Jesus Christ, who is the owner of the cross. The next slide. We should learn from history. What have we learned from history? Our history has divided us. We've lived in a nation that have divided us for no reason. Beginning from the onset of our nation up to the 1950s and 1960s. Let me just take a moment to remind us of the civil rights era. The white and the blacks in many ways were growing far and far apart. Whites and blacks have gone from separate pews to separate churches. In the aftermath of the civil movement in 1968, the report was that our nation is moving towards two states, one black, one white, separate and unequal. Religion has helped to free people, but has not been able to bring them together to overcome racial divide. That is what Jesus Christ demonstrated by crossing the divide. Throughout his journey of 3.5 years of ministry, all he was doing was to cross the boundaries. Every time you see him, he was only crossing the boundaries. He wasn't bothered about what people would talk about prestige, about prestige. His concern is about bringing healing, that little light to shine in the life of these persons that we consider not part of us. Zacchaeus wouldn't have been rich if Jesus Christ had not gone over to meet him. The Samaritan woman became a model. We can go on and on and on. Jesus Christ is calling his church to be a light for the world. If you were around, the next slide. If you were around at the annual general conference that just ended, this is what our last moderator said, and I quote Andy Murray. He said, every Sunday, about 50,000 members gathered for worship in our churches as Church of the Brethren, about 50,000. That is not good news. American churches, all of the Church of the Brethren in U.S. support us in Nigeria and Haiti and other South American countries. Guess what you are doing? You are supporting multicultural church plan. We are multilingual and multi-ethnic. And that is why our churches are growing. You look at this route. By this I'm meaning Church of the Brethren, God has blessed us with a strong root It can be traced from where I stand here back to Germany. There is no amount of wave of doctrine or any force that can uproot our roots. We praise God for that. But guess what we are not doing? We are not growing branches, especially the church in America. We are not growing branches. God has taken care of our roots. We don't need to be worried. We don't need to be concerned about the roots. What we need to be concerned this moment is how do we grow branches? Nigerian churches, we have grown branches. Root is not an issue. We know where the root is. God has assured us he will take care of the root. He would nourish the root. All we need to do is to focus our energy on what? Growing the branches. How do we grow branches? Is by going the way of multi-ethnic church plan. Is by crossing that line of divide and meeting that Samaritan woman who will now go back and testify of the goodness of the Lord. And then people will come and we will stand shoulder to shoulder together peacefully and worship God. Hosanna, Hosanna, glory be to God in the highest. As soon as Andy Murray said that, I wept. I wasn't excited. 50,000 is not good news. It's not. We live in a nation where we are not persecuted. Nigeria, with dozens of our persecution, killings, the church grows every day. More branches have been opened. We ride on our legs, we use our legs to churches about 15 miles, 10 miles to attend church service. Americans drive in their cars, yet they still complain. Americans drive only 5 minutes and they just don't like going there. We don't know why people don't come to church. It's a time of celebration. I wonder if persecution would come in America, would people ever go to church again? Maybe people will say God has forsaken them. In our country, we have never thought that God has forsaken us. We see it as a way of refining the church so that the church can separate. The church in the New Testament grow as a result of persecution. As I conclude, the annual general conference of the Church of the Brethren in 18, let's go to the next one. The annual general conference of the Church of the Brethren in 1835. I want you to please stay with me. 3 minutes will be over by the grace of God. 1835 annual general church conference. Listen to what our great grandparents saw. 1835, they instructed the brethren to make, and I cut it now, to make no differences on account of color. 1835, annual church general council, 1835. Their conclusion, do not make distinction based on color. Guess when we retrieve this? In 2007 annual general conference, that is when a committee was set in place by another section of our general church council. And guess what they found out? They retraced their step and discovered that in 1835, our parents, our great-grandparents, saw what is about to happen. Remember, it's 18. That is just about when Jim Crow laws were about coming into the state. You see how gifted and the visionary minds of our leaders, of our parents, of our great-grandparents. But we missed it. Between that period to 2007 is about 172 years of gap. We would have grown. We would have grown branches. So the committee found out that brethren have historically welcomed people of every color with the right hand of fellowship. We have in practice, now this is where it is, this is where it has a problem. We often fail to extend the holy keys. We often fail to obtain or to show the holy keys. Annual General Conference, they saw this, and our brothers in 2007 came out with the theme, how can the Church of the Brethren become a multi-ethnic church of every tribe, every people, every language? It was query number 2 in the Annual General Conference of 2007. So that you can go back and check. Query number 2. The title of that query is, how can the Church of the Brethren become a multicultural church? It's one way for us to grow the body of Christ. Remember, this is Jesus' church. It is not our church. So let's do it the way Jesus wants it. Let's not do church the way we want it. That's where we have the problem. We are having problem because we want to do church the way we want it. But we forgot that there is an architect. There is an architect, and the architect is Jesus Christ. He has designed it. We don't want to follow the plans. Guess what? If you don't follow the plan of the architect, when you build the house, sooner than later, it will crumble. That is where we are now. He has this design, but we decided to redesign God's design. You see, man? Let's retrace our step. This little light of mine, I'm gonna let it shine. This little light of mine, I'm gonna let it shine. This little light of mine, I'm gonna let it shine. Let it shine, let it shine, let it shine. Christ is the only person in history that each ethnicity claims as their own. He's the only one. This is Africa. You can just see every single ethnicity. They have a picture, a frame mind of who Christ is. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you. We bless your name. We thank you for who you are. We ask that, God, you will speak to our minds, that we will see you seated on the cross, that we are to carry the light. Just as you love other people, we should also love other people, because you created us in your own image, so that we will together, as we call upon your name, to come and worship you. For I ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.